Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm John Batch with Professor Evan Ellis. This is New World Report. Ecuador seeks a former vice president who is permitted sanctuary in the Mexican embassy. Honduras is dealing with a man who's been charged by the U.S. for drug running, despite the fact that he was, I think, an anchor of the U.S. DEA fight against drug running in Central America. And Martinelli, the former president of Panama, has sanctuary in a Nicaragua embassy in Panama. Let's start with Ecuador. It's gone through a rough election. It's gone through a violence patch. There's no reason to believe it's successfully solved. The seeking of a former vice president, is that important in Noboa, or is this old business, Professor?
It is, John, old business, but it's an old business reflection of how when the radical populist left has held power, it has unleashed a combination of corruption and other difficulties that has complicated governance in those countries. And so the Jorge Glass was a legacy. He was vice president under Rafael Correa, the anti-U.S. populist that ran the country from 2006 through 2017. But as vice president, he was convicted on two corruption-related things. Number one was taking significant bribes from Odebrecht. Number two was that he was actually using contractor money to channel to the campaign of Rafael Correa. He was convicted in Ecuadorian courts for both of those things and actually served 5 years of a jail sentence. There is a new charge now in which he has essentially been convicted for corruption, essentially using the resources that were sent by international organizations for rebuilding the city of Manabí that was just decimated by a 2016 earthquake. The bottom line is that Jorge Glass has presented himself to the Mexican embassy claiming political asylum, asking for political asylum. The Mexicans haven't responded yet, but I think there is the hope that the essentially sympathetic leftist government of Mexico under Andrés Manuel López Obrador could protect Jorge Glass from the right-oriented current Ecuadorian government of Noboa. But it reflects the lack of faith, or the lack of belief of the people that judicial systems actually render just verdicts, and it's not all about just politics. We have to remember that in Panama, something similar just happened in which Ricardo Martinelli convicted for multiple corruption cases. When the verdict from the Panamanian appeals court came down that Martinelli that his appeal was invalid, he immediately presented himself to the leftist populist Nicaraguan embassy in Panama, again claiming asylum. And so it's part of the legacy of corruption occurs both on the left and right, but it certainly is an artifact of many of these leftist populist governments. It appears that increasingly the use of a tool that if you've been convicted for corruption, you have a resource in presenting yourself for political asylum to a sympathetic leftist government. And that's, again, part of this unfolding tactics of lawfare that we're seeing impacting governability and the perception of the rule of law, in my judgment, throughout the region.
Honduras, the reason I flagged that prosecution of the former president is because since Ms. Castro was elected president, there's increasing news items about China moving in for development of Honduras. Is that an ongoing story that's been years in the making, or is this fresh that Central America is now an opportunity for People's Republic of China?
Absolutely, John. And it's a great point, and even connected to the previous stories. One of the underlying problems has been that when people in countries lose faith in democratic processes and institutions because of corruption and things like that, it opens up the gate to populist leaders who can take the country in even more worrisome directions, including with respect to China. We can even remember that it was campaigns against corruption and the perceived bad behavior of old elites that opened up the gates for leaders in Latin America like Rafael Correa in Ecuador and Hugo Chavez in Venezuela coming into office in the first place. And in the case of Honduras, it was the perceived corruption of Juan Orlando Hernandez, the previous president, who it turns out is being tried for major narco trafficking activities in that U.S. court, as well as reasonable suspicions that the prior president, his mentor Pepe Lobo, also was involved in this. And so that that sense of frustration of just the scale of corruption in Honduras brought in the current left-to-center government of Libre, Xiomara Castro, tied to the left-to-center government of her husband, Manuel Zelaya, who is now seen as kind of the power behind the throne. But under Libre, you've seen the Honduras recognize China, but not only recognize China, but move forward very quickly in terms of deals in the media space, contracting of Chinese companies to do major electricity infrastructure projects, as well as hydroelectric dams, major projects doing training for the Honduran Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as well as public work projects and other things. And so certainly under Honduras, that government has been moving remarkably rapidly to advance across economic and infrastructure and in other spaces, the influence of China in ways that I think should be of concern. But it's also a template for where things can go with other governments who, because of issues of corruption and a loss of faith in Western-style democracy, turn to Chinese funding, turn to unusual tactics, and that really opens a door for other types of influence by China, among others.
Chile looks under Gabriel Boric to be nationalizing or at least heavily influencing with government interference in the lithium mines that are coming from Chile. Is that a fresh development, or has Chile always treated its natural resources as government possessions?
It is a relatively fresh development, John. Just like decades ago, there was a recognition in Latin America that things like oil were potentially a source of national wealth and development. So you had a movement to nationalize the oil industry in places like Mexico with Pemex back in the 1930s, just to name a few. And so lithium has kind of become the new oil, although it's far more complicated than oil. And so you've seen that leftist, somewhat statist governments in Mexico as well as Chile have tried, as well as Bolivia, frankly, have tried to nationalize the development of lithium. The interesting piece in Chile is that Chile's nationalization under Gabriel Boric is a relatively well-governed rule of law country. And so they're not just taking over and expropriating lithium. They're saying, okay, we're going to take the national mining company Codelco, we're going to put it in charge, we're going to establish a plan, we're going to respect existing contracts that the two big players, Abu Marley and the other have. And so as that happens,
30 seconds.
So on the one hand, that has scared investors somewhat, but Chile recently received U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who did a tour of Albemarle, because the U.S., frankly, is very interested in having reliable friends with secure sources of lithium in an area in which China is trying to lock up lithium supplies in a number of different places. And so if Chile can get it right, despite some of the difficulties of the government orientation, Chile is looking to have a number of major government-led lithium projects in which U.S. companies might be attracted under the good eyes with which the U.S. looks at not only Chile, but U.S. interest in leveraging some of its institutions, such as the Development Finance Corporation, to channel essentially Western capital into strategically important projects with well-governed friends. And so there is a potential upside to this if the state management of this does not undercut the effort in Chile as elsewhere.
Professor Evan Ellis, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.